Today on Real Radio.
There can be one more utterance in tongue with interpretation, and after that there will be no more tongues tonight. Well, what gave me that authority to say that? Some of you asked me afterwards, why did you say only three times? My friend, it says here, maximum three times per service.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. Now, of course, 1 Samuel is an Old Testament book, but it reveals more and more the work of the Holy Spirit, which many think is a New Testament teaching only. But as we'll see, this is simply not the case. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a mini-series called Church Growth 101.
But he who prophesies, oh, that's public, speaks edification and exhortation. Do you remember what happened last week? Exhortation. And comfort to men, that's public. Watch verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Is that wrong? I almost feel like Shakespeare. Is that wrong? I speak as a fool. Is that wrong? No, it's a great thing. But he who prophesies, oh, we went from private now to public. He who prophesies edifies the church. That's beautiful. Is that wrong? It's wonderful. Verse 5, Paul says, this is amazing. I wish you all spoke with tongues. But even more that you would prophesy, private, public. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with a tongue, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Ah, if there's going to be a tongue, it has to be interpreted in a public setting. Why? Because if a person speaks in a tongue, he's only edifying himself with the Lord. And the body's not receiving the encouragement from that. Unless, he says, there's an interpreter present. So, well, how do you find an interpreter? How do you know if someone's going to speak in Chinese or Italian? Who do we bring in? It doesn't work that way. Because, by the way, it implies here that the interpretation, not always, but the interpretation is toward angelic or heavenly language. Now, I have been in a service. This was amazing. I've been in a service where a person spoke in a tongue, and we sat there, and we thought, boy, that sure sounded German. The person who spoke it spoke, he didn't know what he was speaking. He spoke the word, and in the audience that night, in an afterglow setting, in that audience was a person who had been brought to church by their friend from Germany, spoke no English, and they didn't know what to do with the guy, so they brought him to church. He was not a Christian. Sat in church, and this person speaks, not even knowing German, speaks, and the German heard, as it was in the book of Acts, the message of God, or the glorifying of God in German. That's exactly what happened in the book of Acts. Peter or whoever spoke, and they didn't even know what language they were speaking, but there were Arabs there who understood exactly what he was saying. That's the tongues of men. And then there's tongues of angels where you must have an interpreter. Do you see that here in your Bible? Now look, look down. Don't look at me. Look at your Bible. Do you see that? Some of you are going, no, Jack, no. If I look, it's there. And if I look, it's there. I got to deal with it. It's right there. Again, don't let the abuses of some people steal you away. Unless and indeed an interpreter... he interprets that the church may receive edification. How beautiful is that? Verse 6, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether a flute or a harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a noise, a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is being piped or played? In other words, if everybody, and by the way, at Corinth, they were doing this. People were coming together and just speaking in tongues. By the way, tongues in the city of Corinth was there before the Holy Spirit ever arrived, before the church was ever born. If you read about the Corinthians, they were doing very weird things, and Paul wrote this letter to correct very pagan practices that God had the truth for. It's almost as though Satan anticipated to try to muddy up the water with confusion. That's another study, but that's an amazing thing of what was going on in Corinth prior to the gospel. So there's a meaning to it. From verse 7 down is public. Look at verse 13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Why? Because he just got done stating a tongue wouldn't be appropriate unless there's an interpretation clearly put forth. For verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, verse 14 is something I do every day, all the time. And that is, when I pray in a tongue, you'll never know it. Say, what are you talking about? By the way, I don't believe that this is a gift, praying in tongues. There's nowhere to say in the gift of praying in tongues. In my head, I can pray without any verbalization at all. What's also referred to as praying in the spirit. I can pray. And in fact, I'll let you know a secret. I get to the property every morning, and I get out there and I walk around the entire property. And by the time I get around down to one end, I run out of things to pray for. So as I turn around and walk back, I start praying in the Spirit. And I believe that's available to every believer. I know there's guys here that will differ with me on that. That's okay. I don't think praying in the Spirit is a gift. I think every believer has the open door to pray in the Spirit. And you can do it, by the way, again, silently in your head, or you can do it privately in your prayer time or your prayer closet. I don't even know if I ever stop doing it sometimes. And I'll be listening to somebody and they'll say, well, you know what happened? My husband left me today. My dog got run over. My car blew up. My kids left me. And I just start praying in my head, God, give me. You got to help me. And I just start praying. And I got to tell you, those of you who know what I'm talking about, in 3 seconds, you can feel the weight lifting. And your mind is cleared, your heart is calm, and you can receive from the Lord like an antenna that's been polished. That's very amazing. But again, I don't believe that prayer in tongues is a gift. But Paul is just simply speaking, for if I pray in a tongue, what's he say? He says, my human spirit, it's lowercase s, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. My mind doesn't understand what's being said. It takes faith to do that, I might add. What is the result then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray also with my mind. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with my mind. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For indeed, you give thanks well, but the other is not built up. Look at verse 18. This is private. I thank my God, he says, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, he says, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding, or let me put it this way. I'd rather speak 5 words in Hebrew or in Aramaic or Greek or whatever Paul knew, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes. And he's talking about being wise in these things. Now watch this. Some of you have never heard this before, what I'm about to read. And it's tragic. I know this because I mentioned this to someone this weekend. And they said, where's that in the Bible? I don't believe it. Well, here it is. Verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, or to interpret. Yeah, okay, let all things be done for the building up. Verse 27, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be 2 or at the most 3 each in turn, and let one interpret. That's how the Holy Spirit would have the church conduct an afterglow setting. So specific that God says here, All right, if you're in an afterglow setting and the gifts are at work in the body, certain gifts, it's no longer time for teaching at that moment. And someone speaks in a tongue. What happened last week? Someone spoke in a tongue. Then someone spoke in a second tongue. And I said, based upon the word of God, 1 Corinthians 14, there can be one more utterance in tongue with interpretation. And after that, there will be no more tongues tonight. Well, what gave me that authority to say that? Some of you asked me afterwards, why did you say only three times? My friend, it says here, maximum three times per service. See, Jack, when a person's going to speak in tongues, don't they like just kind of lose control and they go into a trance and No. In fact, what happens is that you're sitting with people, we're worshiping or whatever, and you get this strong impression, Jack. And by the way, I don't have that gift, but I'm just making this part up. Jack, I want you to speak. I want you to speak in a tongue. Speak. Now the person, remember it says you have to do this by faith. You have to, at some point in time, you got to, oh my goodness, what is this? And you'll speak. And from that moment on, by the way, the person who has that particular gift, they're going to know it for the rest of their life. Here's the amazing thing. Well, how is it then, if it says in the Bible that the person speaking in the tongue, there has to be an interpreter, or he himself must interpret? That's true. Well, how are you going to know? There's where faith comes into action. And listen, I got to tell you right now, there have been people who have spoken a tongue, they felt prompted to speak, and watch this, there was no interpreter, and we would wait. I would say, someone would speak in a tongue, and I'd say, now we're going to wait for the interpretation of that. And no one says anything. What happened? You know, you want to just pause the tape and ask the question, what happened? This is all that happened. Either A, that person stepped out and without the prompting of the Spirit, meaning well, but you know what I found out more often than not? The person spoke in a tongue and the Lord gives the interpretation to someone else in the room. And do you know what happens? Yeah, the person who receives the interpretation is fearful to speak out. They get afraid. Everyone's sitting here, someone speaks in a tongue, and this person over here gets the interpretation, and they know what was, oh man, and they hear this. It was, oh my, speak, say it. But some people have gone home not saying it. So what do we do? Do we shoot the person that spoke in tongues? No. Do we shoot the person that didn't speak? No. There's grace for this. Note this and never forget it. Regarding the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because there's a human factor involved, it's called us. Don't ever let someone tell you that the gifts are infallible in the use of the believer. If someone begins to tell you that, you're in danger, my friend. You better run. Because now you've got people saying, I'm a prophet of God. We had a guy come in here. Well, praise God. He didn't make it past those doors. We had a guy come in here. And he announced to the ushers, I'm a prophet of God. And, you know, you always, the hair on your neck stands up when you see this. And thank God you don't get it. You don't see it. Hallelujah. Oh, what are you a prophet for? For Lord God Almighty. Well, that sounds good. What's your message? Here's what the guy did. That girl right over there, she just happened to be twice his age younger. That girl right there, I'm to impregnate her by the Spirit of God. Guess who's getting thrown out on the asphalt right now? We physically threw that guy out. Physically. A woman stood up here at the end of a third service right over here, and we stood up to sing, and she goes, I have a message. And God gave me instant wisdom. Instant. Not that she was a false prophet or not. I knew immediately that. She hadn't even said anything. She just says, in fact, she goes, Pastor Jack, I've got a message. And the Lord instantly, I was learning it as it was happening. I went, what? And she goes, I've got a message. I said, I can't hear you. And the music started, and I said, what? I said, let's step outside so I can hear you. She got outside, and she goes, I'm a prophet of God. I have a message for a young man in the church. I said, tell me the message. She goes, I'm not going to tell you the message. And I said, well, who do you work for? She goes, I work for God. I said, so do I. What God? The God of the Bible. I said, so do I. If you're a prophet of God, I know I'm a pastor of God, so you're going to tell me the message, and I'll determine if it's going to be shared with this flock or not. So, seeing how we work for the same one, give me the message. And she goes, I'm not going to do that. And I said, lady, you're not going back in there unless you tell me what the message is. She goes, it's for a young man in the church. I said, give him the message or get off the property. And she goes, you son of a fill in the blank, you... She went off. I was like this, and the usher was standing behind her. And off she went. And if there's any nuts in here tonight, did you know it's a federal offense to disrupt a religious service? How about that? But God has always taken care of this church. He's always watched over. But the usher was saying, you know, I was always wondering how you would know if it was from God or not. I go, well, you just heard some rather interesting language proving that this woman was not from God. But God exercises order over his church beautifully. He protects his body very well. And so he says, but if there is no interpreter, verse 28, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others, that's you, judge. For if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and be encouraged. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is, here it is. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of all the saints. Isn't that great? So listen, if tonight you're born again, you love the Lord, but you don't know what your gift is, my prayer is that you will not sleep day or night, that you'll not rest until you find out your place in the body of Christ. It is essential. Time is short. You must know what he has called you to do in this body of believers, or for that matter, any church you go to. Please know why and how he wants to use you in this body. Amen?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Church Growth 101. It's actually a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel, and in this case, a few other passages from throughout Scripture. We'll continue with more of this fascinating series of studies through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Okay, if you've been listening to Real Radio for the last week or two, you've heard us talk about this month's special offer, Pastor Jack's DVD series called What in the World is Going On? It's a look at what's happening in these last of the last days as prophesied in Scripture. You gotta admit, when we see what's been happening in our world these days, we can't help but ask that very question, what in the world is happening here? Well, the best way to answer that question is not through speculation, it's through Scripture. And that's exactly why we're still offering Pastor Jack's DVD, What in the World is Going On? Now, when we say special offer here at Real Radio, that's exactly what it means. For your gift of any amount to this ongoing radio outreach, we'll send you Pastor Jack's double DVD lesson, What in the World is Going On? Call, click, or write when you send in your tax-deductible gift. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you like using the mailbox, write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for that double DVD set by name, What in the World is Going On? And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. Now, because it's Friday, that means it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack. Ask Pastor Jack is a way of getting your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. Send your question to AskPastorJack at realradioactive.org. AskPastorJack at realradioactive.org. All right, today's Ask Pastor Jack comes from the pulpit. Here's the question. Dear Pastor Jack, regarding the parable of the tares and wheat, is the field representative of the church? Does it mean that the non-believer should be allowed to remain in the church?
Do you remember the parable of the tares? The word tare was false wheat. Remember, Jesus said that there was a field, and out in that field, he sowed good seed, and wheat began to grow up. But then at night, that's a clue, remember? At night, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And so when the reapers came, or when the harvesters said, Lord, who's done this? And he said, my enemy has done this. Well, should we go now among the wheat? Imagine, should we go among the wheat and pull out the tares and get them out? And Jesus said, no, don't do that. Leave them there. Isn't that interesting? Leave them there. Number one, remember, the tares and the wheat look exactly the same. And they grow. In the end, one produces wheat. And by the way, you won't know if it has wheat or not until you sift it. You ever seen a... You know what? We need to get out of town. You know why? Because we need... Have you ever run wheat through your hands like this? If you've not done that, you need to get out of town. You need to do that because it's a very amazing thing, because Jesus was talking about that. You get some wheat in your hands and you rub it like this, and then you go, watch, you go, and all the chaff blows away, and in your hand are all these beautiful golden kernels of wheat. Very, very fun. And you can eat them. You can chew. They turn into a gum if you keep chewing them, and you benefit from them. They're nutritious and all. What happens with the tares? You take the tares. They look exactly the same. You rub them in your hand, and you blow them away, and they blow away. And if anything, there is what's left is a very, very sad representation of what should have been wheat, but it's not. It's fake. And if you boil that stuff, by the way, if you go to cook it to eat it, it's actually, it has toxic chemicals in it. It's poisonous. It's not going to kill you, but it's not going to make you healthy. It's not going to make you happy. And so the interesting thing is, Jesus said, no, let's leave it for the end of the world. The reapers will come. Those are his angels. And he said, they will separate. So the answer is, just kind of like the answer was a moment ago, that in the church, there are always going to be false believers. I think the question, can I ask a question? I think the question would be, the follow-up question should be, well, how do I know if I'm a tare or not? Listen, first of all, if you're asking the question, you're not a tare. A tare won't care. That's a bumper sticker. A tare is not going to care. It's like a goat. Am I a sheep or am I a goat? A goat won't care. A goat just goes around eating everything and just being unruly. And a tare is not going to care. A tare is false. And God, who is merciful, if you're a tare here tonight, God is saying to you, listen, take a good hard look inside of your life. You're fake. You're false. Change that now. Look, he's so merciful. He did that to Judas, did he not? Yes. Jesus, when Judas came up to kiss Jesus in the betrayal, Jesus said, is it with a kiss that you betray the Son of Man? That's an amazing statement. The statement actually means, Judas, you have one more chance to change your mind on this. You don't have to go through with this. That's amazing. So listen, if God is speaking to you tonight and you're saying, you know what? I'm a fraud. I'm fake. I'm not for real. Then listen, change that tonight. But ultimately, I meant what I said a moment ago. Ultimately, a tare ain't gonna care. They're not believing. They look religious, but they're not believing.
Okay, that's Pastor Jack on the parable of the tares and wheat. Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. You might hear the answer from the pulpit. You might hear it when we get Pastor Jack into the studio. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.